Just realized my aunt Droppy wouldn't have changed her count to still be off for me to sell a girl. Droppy wouldn't really change her number, still off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we are in the psalm and about 73, 16. Envious at the wicked, stumbling over the wicked. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Till I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou hast set them in slippery places. It's a good thing to know what happens to these people that seem to be doing so well. Take a look and see what happens to them. Watch them. See what God has to say of them. and find him, and then you'll realize what God has done for you, how gracious he's been to you to save you from these things. Surely thou hast set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They're utterly consumed with terrors. You want that? Would you trade what you've got, even though it's difficult, even though you're suffering? Because he that will live godly, he shall suffer persecution. But would you trade with the wicked, knowing that this thing is going to happen to them? They're going to be brought into desolation in a moment. They're utterly consumed with terrors, and they'll be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them when the Lord finally comes. Would you trade places with them in that day? Don't trade now, or you might be with them in that day. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, when God begins to stir up himself, that word awaketh is stir up, so thou shalt despise their image. Now here it says, when thou awakest. We say, well, I thought the Bible said that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Well, he doesn't slumber nor sleep, but this waketh here is as a person. It seems that though God has been asleep a lot of times, the way things are going in the world, you say God must be asleep or someplace to let things go on the way they are, but he isn't. He sees everything. He's up on everything. And he knows you and me and the wicked. But his day is coming. And when he stirs himself up to shake terribly the earth, this will happen. Thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I to even entertain such a thought. Ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. I just didn't know you, Lord. I was just like the sinners or a beast. I just didn't have any knowledge of God. You see, that's so true with so many of us before we come to the knowledge of God. We're just wandering around here wondering why we're here, where we came from, where we're going. Now, God never intended for his people to ever know that. If they'd been taught right from the time that they was able to listen to you, even before they were able to talk, they'd been learning who they were, where they came from, and where they're going. They wouldn't have these youth problems. Find yourself. They'd already know who they were, and they'd be seeking his face and honoring him. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. See, he holds you fast, like it says of the cherub, held fast, grasped, held fast. He's the one that chose you, and he's going to hold you. No man is able to take them out of my Father's hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, afterward receive me to glory. 48:14. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. We used to sing an old Methodist hymn, but I imagine it was Methodist anyway. That's probably where I first heard it. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and whom on earth but thee? See? Savior, Savior, hear my mournful cry. See? While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Whom have I in heaven beside thee, and who on earth but thee? See, taken from that very verse. Many of those old hymns that we used to have in the church were born of the Spirit. They were really brought forth by the Spirit. Wonderful to sing. And they had deep feeling toward God. My, so different in the churches now than what it was in those times. So many of the churches now never have that anymore in their church. They don't have that anymore in their church. You never hear the praise of God in that manner. One of the first meetings I ever went to that I can ever remember of ever going to a church meeting, went to an old camp meeting down by the riverside in New Jersey in an old shouting Methodist camp meeting. Shouting Methodist. And I remember there was only one song that I remember that they sang. Oh, why do you doubt? Oh, why do you doubt? Believe the Lord and obey His word, and He will make you shout. Now, you don't hear that in most Methodist churches today. You just don't hear it that way. And they were down on their knees, and they had their hands lifted up, like all good cherubim. And they were really seeking His face. But that has come out. And since that time, I was in the Methodist church. I used to sing in the choir in the Methodist church in Lewiston, Idaho, when I was going to high school. And we went to a youth conference, youth rally, in the summertime there at the Methodist church. Oh! Old Aunt Mariah went a-digging for some clams. And she didn't get a clam. My grandfather had a very great farm with a ba-ba here and a ba-ba there and a here-ba there, ba-ba-ba everywhere in a merry fields of clover. Now, that was the extent of their spiritual singing. I wasn't even a Christian yet, but I abhorred that thing. I quit. That's when I quit. I wasn't even a Christian. I knew that wasn't right. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My heart, my flesh, and my heart faileth, but God is my strength. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Supposing your flesh does seem to faint, but supposing you fail and your heart just seems to fail and faint, God is still your strength. All you need, draw near unto Him and just draw strength from Him, from His precious word. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near unto God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. The scripture says, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. That's why it's good to draw nigh unto God. James 4:8, Hebrews 10:22. 74, a teaching psalm of Asaph. Maskil, teaching of Asaph. And this was Asaph and Heman, Jeduthun, they were the first main men under David set up as the order of song and praise and worship unto God. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? What are you talking about? Back in those days and that time, David was king, and right following him, Solomon was king. Wonderful. 40 years, both of them. 40 years, each of them. A reign of righteousness under God in His temple with the glory of God and the presence of God right on the mercy seat, and the glory of God filling the temple and the praises of God going up when they're clapping their hands and singing praises to God and playing the musical instruments, giving Him glory. What's he talking about? Prophesied on the harp in Psalm. See? Nothing like this had ever happened to them. They were in no problem at that time. But that's when these Psalms were written back in those times. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Whoever told him it did? The Holy Spirit told him it was going to be. That's what it was. It was a prophecy. What's it about? What's it about? Well, it did tell him something. It must be. It must be that there will be a time. It must be that this thing will be so. What's he talking about? And it brought them right back with a jolt. Maybe we better be careful how we walk with God. See? That's what it was for. To keep them. Keep them, keep them. Bring them to Christ. Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, that's Israel, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed out of Egypt, this Mount Zion wherein thou dwelt, doesn't he dwell there now? Sure, that's where he dwelt, that's where he said he was going to dwell, and that's what they put it there for. Was he there? Sure he was there. Then what are you singing about? See what I mean? Prophecy. And they marveled at it, undoubtedly. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations. What desolations? Perpetual desolations. Zechariah 1:16, 8:3, 14:4 and 5. Yeah, but who's Zechariah? See? They didn't have that. They didn't have that cross-reference. We've got it, but they didn't have it. Thine enemies roar. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. What have they done? Nothing as yet. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. Ezekiel 43:8. Might just read that to you there, a little of it. In their setting up of their threshold, he said, Son of man, the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Now this is after they are cast off. This is about 574. They've already been about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. Judah went out. Israel had already gone out 140 years before that. But now Judah's gone. They're both gone. And here he's giving him a vision of a future time when he said, the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall be the house of... shall the house of Israel no more defile. Neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of the kings in their high places. In their setting of their threshold by my threshold, their post by my post, and the wall between me and them, because their sins have separated between you and your God. They have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now, let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from, and I will dwell in the midst of them forevermore. Still will. But you see, it was a long time before he even presumed to dwell among them. 70 years down in Babylon, now and the rest of them clear out, and then even after that, it was never quite like it was before. They set up their ensigns for signs. See, that's what he's talking about. Same thing. Ezekiel 43:8. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. Now, they try to make all kinds of different things out of that, but it simply means this. That when they built this temple, God's blessings was upon them, and they built a marvelous temple of God. That was the first temple they ever built, Solomon's temple. And Hiram and his men, and they were even related to those people there too, but they were in Phoenicia. And the men of Israel, they cut down those great cedars up on Mount Carmel up in there and brought them down and brought them to Solomon and his people, and they built that wonderful temple and overlaid it with gold. And a man was famous according as he could say, I helped build that temple. I helped cut down the trees. See, I helped build this temple of the Lord. They boasted about it. For hundreds of years, they boasted in the fact that they had helped build that most wonderful temple of the most wonderful people under the most wonderful and only God. Just like it says in the end of time, up here in the end of time, when God restores Edom and his city and Jerusalem and the land of Israel, they'll be famous again. They say, this man or that man was born there. See, they'll begin to point out that glorious land again. So-and-so was born there. See, same thing. But now, they were famous. They boasted of it. Of how they had helped to build. Even the heathen around about them helped to build because they had slaves and people out of all, many people from way down to the Euphrates and all over the country. They had them up there working on that temple. Lots of those people. And the people of Israel were overseers. And the heathen were doing practically all the hard menial work. Is that right? That's what it says in the Bible. It tells us that. Now, those same heathen coming later on could boast to that, even though they were not among them, even though they were not in there. They could boast. They helped build that wonderful building. See? My grandfather helped build that. My great-great-grandfather helped build that and all that sort of thing. But now, they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers, with the cherubim and the palm trees and the lion's face and all these things and the lilies and all that beautiful carved gold and all of that. They take axes and break it down, burn it up. My, what a contrast. What a contrast. See? But now that's gone away. Now he's talking about that very same thing, but none of that's ever happened yet. It doesn't happen for 500 years from the time this psalm was probably written. It was 500 or more years perhaps before it happened. Close to it. Psalm. But now they break down the carved work that once with axes and hammer. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. Now, they never had in the time of Asaph, or Heman, or Jeduthun, or David. See, they never had. None of that had ever taken place. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. Synagogues. They didn't even have any synagogues. They'd never had a synagogue. They'd never had a synagogue. We have no evidence of any synagogues, even in history, until after they came back out of Babylon. They had no synagogues. That's a rare thing. That's what's that word doing to that? That doesn't belong there. It belongs way up here somewhere. See? There it is, back there. Synagogue. But you know, I'll tell you a secret. You know what that word synagogue is? Huh? Kaya. Cherub. Living creature. Congregation. It has all those meanings. It's in the Hebrew, it's kaya. Living creature. Beast. Living creature. Beast. Congregation. Meeting place. Gathering. See? Been there all the time, Tom, but the world doesn't seem to know anything about it. And I didn't know anything about it either. See, I wonder what they were. We go, well, nobody seems to know, but somebody gets an idea of, you know, what it is. But the Bible tells you what it is. We get far enough, we know who he is. Congregation, it's his people. It's his gathering together of his people. It's his anointed. That's not all. Look at Psalm 68:10. Right behind us. And there's a lot more of them here, but I haven't got time to give them to you and haven't even found them all myself. I'll find more and more and more and more and more. Now that I know it's there, you see, I'll find it all the time. And you will too. You'll find it. Now, before you couldn't find it. Why not? Why not? Because God hadn't revealed it. How is it now that it's all over the book? Well, it is. Psalm 68. 9:68:10. Thy congregation, Kaya. Now look at verse 9. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company. Now that word company is another meaning of the word kite. Company, congregation, gathering, living thing, living creature, and beast. And in the Revelation we see the word beast. But it shows you that by their very form and figure and number and everything else, that they're the same living creature, same as the living creature that Ezekiel saw. Not the same people, individuals, except in the large number, they're part of. But they're both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, we'll find that in here too. They speak of those. This one here speaks of the New Testament. This congregation in 68:10 speaks of the New Testament people because it's after the rain. It's after that great outpouring. It's after God gave a plentiful rain, the outpouring of Pentecost. You see? Therefore, that's speaking of the congregation there. But the other congregation is speaking, this other one back here is speaking of the congregation way back there. Way back there. But it's both of them in Revelation 5:4. It's both of them. They're both there now. Because the dead in Christ have risen, and we who are alive and remain been caught up together with him, they're both there now as Kaya. Living creatures. Alive, living creatures. They said in their heart, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues, Kaya, of God in the land. Now, actually, That took place in the synagogues. After they did have synagogues, they did that. That is the place where they met together, the place where God's people gathered together, the place where God was taught, the place where his word was, the place where they began to manifest. See, now the Jews had synagogue and teaching all that they could of the word. And they were teaching out of the Psalms a lot, too. But they didn't understand a lot of things. But later on, the apostles went into the synagogues and also preached. Jesus went into the synagogue and he also taught. But you see, it's actually speaking of the God's people. Now, synagogue is not just any gathering. It has to do with God's people gathered together. It's a Hebrew word that has to do with them there for spiritual purposes. Tom.
When you say rest is coming to pass in a greater and greater measure in the church today, this very thing is
yes.
Suppression and burning of the church.
Yes. To take a look at Russia. But then take a look at Jerusalem about 70 A.D. and thereon. See? And take a look at old Antiochus Epiphanes before that time. Desecrations that he made. Destroyed this temple, that second temple. He destroyed that and old Herod had to rebuild. See? Same thing happening all the time along. Here he says, they said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. Now, you remember Psalm 2? The heathens rage. Kings of the nations, the rulers, gather themselves together. Take Soviet together. In the Russian language, the Soviet is take counsel. Counsel, that's what Soviet means. They take Soviet together against the Lord and against his anointing. So what's happened to the synagogues over there? Or any place else that they are. And any place else that they're trying to get. They'll do the same thing continually. Destroying God and his people. They're not just destroying the synagogue. They're destroying the people. And then change the synagogues into something else. Schools for communism. And said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There's no more any prophet. Neither there is there any among us any that knoweth how long? I have no idea what's happening and how long what? Until God does what he said he would do. You know, the Jew, he had no idea how long this is going to be. The churches don't know how long they're going to be. I've heard many preachers preach and say, nobody knows, this may go on for thousands of years, and some of them got the idea that it's going to go on forever. Just for this generation, and it'll go on to the next generation. This thing will just go on forever. We'll just keep getting better and know more about God, how to live with one another. Most preachers have got that social idea of just how to live down here with one another. And we die, and we live in the memory of our children, and so on. All that stuff. They're not looking for Jesus to come. They haven't the least idea when he's going to get. They have no idea it might be millions of years. Brother, I've got a different idea. Haven't you? Righto. I believe that that time has come. I believe we're going to see. But now, there are signs. No, you see everything else. You don't see their signs anymore. You remember in Hosea 3, 4, and 5, when God cast them off? Take a look at it. It's worth looking at. God cast them off now. He cast off Israel right now in Hosea. He said, you're not my people, and I'll not be your God. But then look at Hosea 3. Hosea 3. You see, God just now cast off Israel. Go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, that's Judah, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. That ring a bell any place? Bought her for 15 pieces of silver. Just like over in Micah. So they gave me my price, 15 pieces of silver, goodly price, they thought. See? That's what the value of the Lord at. That's what Judas. That's what the priests paid Judas. Pardon? In one place, but it adds up to the same thing when you understand it. The difference there. Same. It's speaking the same thing. For the children of Israel, and I said to her, thou shalt abide for me many days. You'll wait for me. You'll wait for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without teraphim, without any of their signs. Now let's get back to our lesson. We see not our signs. They burned down the synagogues and that great temple that they boasted of. We see not our signs. There's no more any prophet, neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. That's exactly what's happened to Israel. That's what happened to Israel. That's what's happening even yet in the church.
You've got a good reference in 1 Samuel 3:1 on verse 9 in Amos 8:11, where God says he'll send a famine.
Yes. Yes. Okay, thank you. Oh God, how long shall the adversary reproach? It's a long time. It's been a long time. And oh, how many times they must have said that. How long, O Lord? How long? But friend, it won't be forever. It won't be forever. Even those in the grave, the souls of them under the altar crying out, how long, O Lord? And it said unto them, you shall rest yet for a little season until your brethren are killed, even as you were. It won't be long now. But they're at rest. They're at rest. They're not wicked. There is no rest for the wicked. But God's people who have died in the faith, those that are in Christ Jesus, they're resting. Don't you worry about them. They're resting. You worry about those that are not, but then it won't do any good to worry about those either. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? How long? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Because he said, I'll hold you by my right hand. How come we're in the condition we're in now? Pluck it out of thy bosom. Pluck it out of thy bosom. You see, there used to be an old stance, and I've seen, go back even 100 years or less than that. I can remember back just before the turn of the century and about that. People used to have their picture taken with their hand in their bosom, see? Or a general or somebody with his hand. You see, Napoleon with his hand in his bosom. Of course, he had a lame hand. But there's others. I mean, it was a kind of a... I mean, he actually did. But it was a stance, you know, of peace and... everything's just all right with them. Everything's going good with them in the world, see? So... to just take that stance just meant that everything is just wonderful like that. pluck it out of your bosom. Not doing anything. Don't have to do anything. Got lots of money. They got time, leisure, pleasure, money, everything. See? They made it. That was the attitude of the picture. Well, now, God seems to be just standing with his hand in his bosom, doing nothing. Times to him, it seems that way. What? Pluck out it out of thy bosom. Stretch forth your hand again, O God, and hold our right hand. For God is my King of old. Always has been.
Salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou shalt divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. All these great kingdoms are against God and against his people. Thou breakest the heads of the Leviathan in pieces. You see, all of these Tyre, Sidon, Babel, Egypt. And gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. I heard one preacher say that
that was not quail that he gave him in the wilderness. That was whale, and he proved it by this scripture here. Whale meat. Because that Leviathan was like a great whale, and that one especially in Egypt, talking to Egypt and so on, and so he said it was whale meat instead of quail meat. But I doubt that.
Amen.
Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood, caused the waters to roll back, both in the Jordan and the Red Sea. Thou driedest up mighty rivers. Going to dry up the Euphrates too, but not literally, perhaps like that. It'll probably be in another manner, because the Euphrates doesn't hinder anybody nowadays, not very much. He may, I mean, I don't say he can't, but it's very possible that's a spiritual application. Pardon? They've got ways of crossing the river so fast now and getting men over there without ever knowing the river down there. You load them into a great big plane, take them over. Drive right down there in their tanks and ride right across the water and off onto the other side. Amphibian tanks. Those things don't stop them like they used to, but they're very formable back in those days. Now he could literally do that, but actually what he's going to do, that country round about Palestine has been the envy of all the nations of the earth, because it's a very strategic place. It's right in the center of the earth. It joins the four continents all together, and it has great strategic possibilities right there, and is right in the crossroads of the nations. And they've all wanted it, but the very fact of that won't allow any one of them round about that to allow any other one of them to take it. They don't want any other one to get the advantage of that. They'd rather just belong to some little somebody that isn't anybody than to let any other big nation get a hold of it, because if they get a hold of it, that's what Russia's trying to do right now, and for that express purpose. But one of these days, by the very fact of what they're doing now, it may dry up all that opposition and they allow this to happen. See? Because if they get the idea they're all going to join together under communism to go down there and do this thing against Israel, for instance, then that all those
are no longer standing in their way. The kings of the way of the east are prepared. Now we are the west, they are the east, between the east and the west, you see. There's a division now between the west. And it'll be very much like it was back in the day when Israel stood on one side of the valley and Philistine stood on the other, and there was a great valley between. The time is going to come up at the end of time when there's only going to be two great armies. Now, I'm not talking about physical armies.
People are either going to be for God or against God. They'll either be for him or against him. And it'll be as Israel on one side and the Philistines on the other, and old Goliath will be the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be Goliath. See, we got the same picture there. And that's just the way it's going to be, between the people of God and the people of the world. They make war with the saints and overcome them and kill them. And they make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb overcomes them. I'm glad to know that. All right, let's go ahead now. Thou didst, the day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. He also made the hail and the snow. And have you seen the treasure of the regarded and considered the treasure of the hail and the snow which the Lord hath reserved unto himself against the day of battle? Way back in Job. What does that mean? I don't know. But brother, something's going to happen. I do know that you're going to have some hailstones that weigh about 125 pound piece and they won't be thin. But what else we'll find, I don't know. Maybe that's why we're down in the, what am I trying to say, South Pole region down there. Who knows just what'll come of some of these things. God has something hidden there up his sleeve and hadn't told us about it. Ask Job, what do you know about that? He doesn't know anything, neither do we. Well, we may see it. We may see it in our own time. We may see it. Treasure, the hail and the snow. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Everything is in God's hand. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. You know who that turtle dove is? Read about it back in the Song of Solomon, don't you? Song of the dove. Song of the turtle dove. It's at the time of the rapture too, isn't it? Right there. Isn't that? Right there, same place. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The singing of the birds is come. It didn't say birds, but it's a singing. And the voice of the turtle dove, is heard in the land. God's people will be singing praises unto God again. Bride of Christ, the overcomer. Deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation. Kaya. Remember, forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Psalm 9:18. That's that word kaya again. God's the poor. Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. And he means the new earth. And the restored Garden of Eden. Oh, let not have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Don't ask me what that means. We're already seeing it. Isaiah 60:2, Jeremiah 13:16. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. They won't. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, stir up yourself, awaken. That same word, see? Arise, stir up, awaken, same word. O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's all he has to say to do that, reproach God. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increases continually. It's so. Psalm 75. To the chief musician, Altasketh. I could talk to you for a week on just that verse, chapter there, and keep finding more and more scriptures to prove it, but we haven't time. To the chief musician, Altasketh. Corrupt not or destroy not, Altasketh. Who's asking?
Yeah. I was just going to ask you, the one you gave us, verse 19, Psalm 9, something like that. Could you repeat that? And then the Jeremiah Psalm you gave us, verse 20 there.
Just now? Yeah, Psalm 9, 18. And then with verse 20, Isaiah 60:2, Jeremiah 13:16.
Are you still that Hebrew word
C-H-A-I-Y-A-H. That's a very interesting word to me. I don't know why that Y-A-H doesn't identify them positively as the living ones of Yahweh. That's what it says. Chi itself tells you it's a living thing, you see. And Yah should tell you that it's the living thing of Yahweh, but I can't get any confirmation because nobody else says so, and I don't know any Hebrew. I'm no Hebrew scholar. I can't tell you. See, but it does every place else. Does every place else? Why not here? The living ones that belong to Yahweh. Why doesn't it? Isn't that who the congregation is? Isn't that who his company, the word company also? A great company of people, see? And those that gather together, and the synagogues, isn't that who they are? Sure it is. No other God, see?
Russ, sometimes when you run into this problem, I know I found that, look up in the concordance, first time that word is used in that sense, and usually the very first time the Bible is used, that's where they'll mostly talk about it. The rest of the time they just bypass it.
Yeah, I know that a lot of times. And not only that, but find the different usages and what they've called it, look them up, and see what they are saying when they use it. If they use it as company, what company? If they're using it as synagogue, what synagogue? See, if they're using it as a congregation, what congregation? Then find it where it means living creature or beast. What living creature or what beast? Because there are all kinds of living creatures and beasts. Find out who he's talking about. And in every instance that I've found so far, he's talking about the same thing. Now, I haven't had time to run all this out because I was never in this before, and I haven't had time. It's so big and involved, and I've got to get all the rest of this, but I run into that, and God just showed me a little at a time. I told you the other day, didn't I, about in Galatians, in the class of Galatians here, I just run into something I hadn't before. Did I tell you about that? Better give it to you. Yesterday. And then, yesterday, I guess it was, the day before. In Galatians, I run into it just as soon as I hit it. The Spirit caused me to look that up, and as soon as I saw it, I knew what it was. Now, I wouldn't have known what it was or even thought about it if I'd looked it up until now. You see, God's teaching me things now. Now I know something I didn't know before. Now those things hit me. Just as soon as I see them, they hit me. But before, I couldn't, because I had never searched this thing out fully to teach it, to see what it did mean. I read what everybody said about it. I knew that. But that didn't do me any good. Nobody ever said the right thing. So I never learned anything from what they said. But when I began to read it for myself and pray about it, and God showed it to me, then I had something. Here we are. Galatians 2, verse 14. Peter had dissembled with the Jews and withdrawn himself and won't eat any more with the Gentiles, although he knows better. Now, Paul said, when I saw that they... not only he, but Barnabas also, who was with Paul, knew better. Even he was influenced by those that came from Jerusalem down up to Antioch, and they began to withdraw themselves and would not eat with the Gentiles. Now, God had shown Peter different than that, and Peter knew that, and Peter had already told him in Jerusalem that too. But here they are back down here now, and they're still having trouble with it, because there's people there in Antioch, and also said those that came from James are just strict on that law. They're just going to have to keep the law of Moses in spite of everything. See, certain ones of them. False brethren brought in unawares. Not the apostles. False brethren. Some of the Jews that wanted to believe in Christ, but they didn't want to take the apostles' word of authority. They wanted to go on their... They knew that they had to keep the old law. See, they just didn't understand, and they were going to be teachers. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Now, why should I look up that word uprightly? You know what it means? When I saw that they walked not straight-footed, and immediately I went right back to Ezekiel 1:7. The living creatures had straight feet. And I told you what those straight feet meant. And I showed you they meant same as hind's feet. Now here, they use this even in the Greek. Straight-footed. Straight-footed. See, it's just another confirmation of this very thing that the Spirit showed me back there about the living creatures and their straight feet and the hind's feet. See? Here they are using it clear up here in Paul's time about Peter and the rest of them who were dissembling, hypocritizing, hiding something that they knew better. See? Now, the Holy Spirit does that. Why would I look up that? I don't have to look up uprightly. I know what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit just made me do it. That's all. I can't tell you why. Why did I go and look up what I told you before when I found the armillary sphere? Archangel. Why was I looking up archangel? Only because the Spirit just drove me over, and on the way over I said, what am I looking it up for? What am I looking it up for? I already know what it is. When I went over to look for it, I didn't even see it. I saw the other thing right there alongside of it, see? Just right next to it. Just flipped the page. Hadn't got to it yet. I hadn't got turned over to archangel yet, and right there was that thing right there in front of me. As soon as I saw that, I knew why I had to look up archangel. So I could find this thing that was right there close by. I'd never found otherwise. I had nothing to lead me there. Nothing to lead me there. So God just took that thing and led me there, see? It's marvelous. I marvel at it all the time. I don't know, you say. And why did I look this up? But I didn't. When I found out, it meant straight-footed. I mean, the Greek word says that, straight-footed. Just like that, see? Straight foot. Then I knew what he's talking about. Well, that's why the cherubims have straight feet. That's why the living creatures have straight feet. Now, they were not walking like Peter in hypocrisy. They were walking, and the rest of them with him there, from James. Now, Peter himself was not believing that. He knew better. But he was just avoiding trouble. And Peter never answered Paul, never tried to defend himself before Paul. He knew just as well as Paul knew that that was not right. Paul said, I knew. I rebuked him before his face because he was to be blamed. And Peter never did say he was not to be blamed. But he says, our beloved brother Paul, in all his things that he writes, there's some things hard to be understood, but he wasn't talking about that because he knew about that before Paul did. Sure. He knew about that before Paul did. He was the one that went up and told him about that in Jerusalem himself, Peter. See, he knew Paul was right. He never answered him. Never said a word against him. Nobody else ever lifted up their voice against it either since that time in Paul. All right. Now, we're in Psalms, aren't we? But if you don't see these things, you might just as well, if you just drive over the Psalms, if you don't get it, you haven't got much. We haven't got time to get all of it, but I'm trying to give you what God gives me. I hope it'll do you good. We got 5 minutes. Praise the Lord for that. All right, let's go again. Psalm 75. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Now this altoskith, you remember I talked to you about it before. Destroy not. Destroy not. God has promised, in spite of what his people do, 1 Samuel 23:16 and 17, and Psalm 57, 58, and 59, the chapters, 58, 58, 57, 58, and 59, all of them have an altoskith also, because they speak of the same thing. God, though he casts off his people, he does not utterly destroy them. He destroys not for the sake of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his covenant with Israel. God still delivers his people. So that's what the song is about, and that's why it's called Altoskith. The chief musician concerning Altoskith. Unto thee, O God, I've told you about that before. You understand that, don't you? I've talked to you about that. Showed you those scriptures before, didn't I? Yes, I must have. In 57, 58, and 59. They're behind us. All right? Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Thy name is near. Do you know what they meant by that? Now, his name is not only his word and all of that is near and in your mouth and that, but they couldn't tell you his name because his name has not been revealed. They didn't know his name until the angel declared it there in Bethlehem. See? They didn't know his name. It had never been used. So they say, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. But that was not his name. Nobody ever named him that. He was not registered in the temple by Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. His name was Jesus. But his name shall be called Wonderful. What was his name? Jesus. All right. Jesus shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Now here. For that Jesus is near, thy wondrous works declare. It tells you that it's coming. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord by his prophets. He's already been prophesying. See? Now here, before the prophets, prophesying in the Psalms that it's coming. It's coming nearer all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. Pretty soon the prophets will be talking about it. Right shortly now the prophets will be telling you about it. They'll be talking about him. Tell you that he's even a son of a virgin. That his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. See? A sign. Thy name is near. Thy wondrous works declare. It's even being revealed right here in the Psalms. It's telling you even about his crucifixion. It's telling you about his resurrection. It's telling you about his gospel. See? Right here even in the Psalms, before the prophets got to it. But it was dark until the prophets began to talk. And it was still dark until Jesus came. Now we're children of the day. No more children of the night, we're children of the day. We have the light. And the name has already been declared. We know his name, and we see the light. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. He'll judge the whole earth in righteousness, it says. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. There's coming a time? Yes, sir. That's what 2 Peter 3:11 says. Inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. I bear up the pillars of it. And the pillars of the church, the apostles were pillars of the church. The prophets were pillars of the church. Men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Elijah, and Elisha, and men like that, pillars of the church. Jesus was the chief. He was the temple. He was the temple. He was a pillar also in that sense. Paul was a pillar. To those that seem to be somewhat pillars in the church, Paul said right there in Acts where I was just talking about. Remember? The pillars of the church. Peter, James, John. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. To those that said there is no God, I said, don't be silly. Don't be foolish. To the wicked, lift up not up the horn. Don't lift yourself up against God. Don't fight against God. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. 1 Samuel 23:17. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and it is full of mixture. And he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Read it in Ezekiel 23:34 and over in Revelation. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked shall be cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. I stole a little bit of your time, but I got to go someplace, sometime.